we're doing the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvot is introduction, and the Rambam really has principles, roots, based upon which he will define which mitzvot get enumerated in the 613. And we mentioned that the Brisker Rav said that this is the secret to knowing depth of Talmud, to master this work, the introduction, the Rambam's Shur Rashim, one of the secrets. And so we said in our advanced class, we will slowly but surely try to advance in this. We're learning it together with Nachmandi's commentary, Ramban. Technically, there are many commentaries, a load of commentaries on this work. The first point that the Rambam says is that we must enumerate only biblical mitzvot, and that would seem obvious. And we saw last time that the Rambam made a very strong case that it's ridiculous to enumerate rabbinic mitzvot in the enumeration of 613, when our sages say that 613 was mitzvot were set to Moshe at Sinai. So we will read the first paragraph of the Rambam, and then we will go over to the Ramban, Nachmanides, who will begin by addressing the following question. Nachmanides says, who said there are 613 mitzvot? I know the Talmud in Makos quotes Darash Rav Samloi. Rav Samloi taught there are 613 mitzvot. Who said everyone agrees with him? Maybe others disagree. And he will raise some points. He says, I feel, so to speak, embarrassed to question such a basic point. But who said that it's limited to 613? Who said everyone agrees to this number? So let's begin. We'll read the Rambam a little bit. We'll read the Ramban, advance in the Ramban tonight. Hopefully try to finish this point. And then next time we'll move forward in the Rambam, move forward in the Ramban. In our last class, we read through the Rambam's, just the Rambam's words. We didn't record it. This class, we'll start again from the beginning of the Rambam and see the Ramban. So the Rambam says, Asho Shoshon, the first root, that when we're counting, you don't count rabbinic mitzvot, right? 613 are the biblical mitzvot, not the rabbinic mitzvot. That says the Rambam. Now remember, this the Rambam wrote in Arabic. This is a translation. This part. The rest of the Mishnah Torah was written in Hebrew. But this was written in Arabic. So the Rambam says, I want you to know, that this topic really, we shouldn't have to deal with this. No one should really have issue with this. This should be obvious to everyone. We shouldn't have to bother Levo'arot to explain this. Being that the Talmud tells us in Makos, 613 mitzvot were said to Moshe at Sinai. If that's what the Talmud says, Ech nomar b'davar shu midrabanan shu michlal aminyan. How could we say about something rabbinic that it is biblical? And then the Rambam goes on to say, well, then why do I have to deal with this? Because I saw that other people do count candle lighting on Hanukkah as one of the 613, etc. So the Rambam says, really, I shouldn't have to deal with this, but because my predecessors, some of those who put together the enumeration of the 613, did include the mitzvah to say Hallel, other rabbinic mitzvot, I saw a need to mention this point. Says the Ramban. Ramban is on the right, you see it? Over here. So the Ramban really begins, in your edition they don't quote it, he begins with like B'siyata Dishmaya, just like we write at the top of our letterheads, we write with God's help, he begins with B'shimcha Rachmana, in your name God. Before we begin the Ramban, we have to know the Ramban's style. The Ramban wrote a few works. He wrote his own commentaries. He was the chief rabbi in Spain. One of the things that Ramban did in the Talmud and also here in his commentary on Maimonides on the Rambam was fight battles. His work on the Talmud, his work on the Rif, is called Milchomos Hashem, God's battles. What is the Ramban doing? The Ramban is really protecting the earlier rabbis. What the Ramban does in the Milchamos is, we have the Rif, Rav Yitzhak Alfasi. Along came Rabbeinu Zrachia Levi, the Baal HaMor. He wrote a work called the Maor, the Baal HaMor. And in that word, much of what he does is attack the Rif. He says, how could the Rif say this, but? How could the Rif say that, but? Along came the Ramban and wrote a work to protect the Rambam, to protect the Rif. He writes his work to say, wait a second, you Rabbi Mizrachi Alevi, you Baal Amor, you're attacking the Rif. I'll tell you what the Rif means. And his whole work is to fight a war, a protective war. Wait a second, the Rif was so great, let's protect the Rif. By the same token, in his work over here, around the Rambam, we're going to see the Rambam, when he writes his 14 principles, his 14 roots, based upon which we count the Taryag Mitzvos, in these 14 principles, in these 14 roots, he's disagreeing with all his predecessors. He's saying, well, they said this and they're wrong. So what the Ramban is going to do is going to fight the battle to show that they're not completely off. There's room to say what they've said. So we have to understand that this is the Ramban's goal in his work. This is maybe an undercover goal, but the Ramban's position is going to be primarily to defend the opinions of the Gaonim that preceded the Rambam. The Rambam comes and says, this is the way it works, this is what's logical, I shouldn't even have to say this, it's so obvious. Along comes the Ramban and says, wait a second, let's explain, where are they coming from? So let's begin. Haikar HaRishon. So he reveals. The Rambam attacked someone and he didn't tell us who he was attacking. He says, I wouldn't have had to say this if not for the fact that I saw others did count, did enumerate in their 613 rabbinic mitzvot. Says the Ramban, the Rambam over here is attacking the Baal Halachot Gdolot. The Baal Halachot Gdolot was Rabbi Yehudai Gaon, one of the earliest Gaonim, and he, when he wrote his work, Rabbi Yehudai Gaon wrote the Baal Halachot Gdolot. His work was so early that we have situations, we have times where it is unclear in the Talmud whose words are being quoted. Is it the Gemara or is it Rabbi Yehudai Gaon? He was so close to the period of the Gemara that his works, sometimes the printers got confused. They put his words in the Talmud. You have sections of Talmud where it's a machlokas, Rashi, Tosfos. Is this Talmud, or is this additions from the from Baal Halachot Gdolot? So, so the Ramban says, when the Rambam says, there's no way you could count rabbinic mitzvot, he is really attacking the Baal Halachot Gdolot. Because Baal Halachos Gdolos, when he enumerates the 613 mitzvot, he also counts Mikra Megillah, reading of Megillah. Yeah. How can he count reading Megillah? It's an institution post-First Temple. V'ner Chanukah, lighting Chanukah candles, Second Temple institution. Nechlan mitzvot aseh. So Baal Halachos Gdolos enumerates this as part of the positive commandments. And so too he enumerates the responsibility of every Jew to make 100 blessings a day. And comforting people who are mourning. And visiting the ill. And burying the dead. And giving clothing to those who have not. And to figure out when the new month should be, when the seasons begin. And the 18 days in which we conclude the Hallel. So these are the things that Baal Halachos Gdolos enumerated within the 613 that the Rambam has issue with. L'pishayelu kulan mitzvot rabbanan, being that all of these are really rabbinic mitzvot, and an min haTorah, they're not biblical. V'tshuvotav al zeh tshuvot gdolot meot. And the Rambam's answers against Baal Halachos Gdolos are really very big answers. Ki'ilu machichot lodot ben. It's as though you're forced to admit the Rambam's right. We also notice this, that the Rambam writes his words very forcibly. Notice the Ramban, he's already slowly pecking away at the Rambam. It's as though you have to admit him. You notice the Ramban is already saying, wait, I'm going to show you. Yeah.
Can you say both words, Rambam and Ramban?
Well, I was thinking it might be better if you were to say Nachmanides and Nachmanides.
Nachmanides, okay, Nachmanides. We're reading the Ramban. Nachmanides, I'll try to say my man is my man, Nachmanides, so it'll be clear. You're right, okay. V'terem atchil ledaber im levavi v'inyan hazeh. And before I start talking to myself about this, notice the Ramban's, Nachmanides' humility. The Ramban is saying as though I'm talking to myself. I don't want to attack the Rambam, God forbid, but I'm going to talk to myself how I would answer this. Omar Mashinista Pekli. First, I want to raise a point that I have doubt. The Ramban says, Afal pi sheyadati shehakol machzikim bo kedavar pashut, even though I know everyone assumes it's obvious, but I have a question. Notice a great person. A great person isn't scared to ask. I know it's obvious to everyone, but I don't understand. And that's what the Talmud tells us at the very end of the tractate Makos. Rabbi Samlai. Rabbi Samlai taught. 613 mitzvot nemul Moshe v'Sinai. 613 mitzvot were said to Moshe at Sinai. Rabbi Samlai over there says the following. 365. Like the days of the sun. And 248 corresponding to the limbs. Rav Amnuna, and Rav Amnuna adds on to Rav Samlai's words. He says, Meikra, what verse is the source for this concept? It says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha kilat Yaakov. At the very end of the Torah, it says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah has the numeric value of 611. Torah bigamatria hachi avu. So the Gemara questions, Veikshu Torah tafreshu dalef avu. The Gemara questions, wait a second, you said 613. What does it mean? Torah has the numeric value of 611. So the Talmud answers, you're right. Moshe Torah 611. Two commandments we heard from God directly. We heard from God directly the first two of the Ten Commandments. That's why they're said in first person, right? Anochi, I, God says, I am Hashem, your God. Lo yelcha elokim achrim al panai. You may not have other beings that you believe in other than me, God says. And then the rest of the commandments are said in third person. Lo tisat shem Hashem elokecha. Don't take God's name in vain. God doesn't say don't take my name in vain. The first two, God said. The rest, we heard from Moshe. So this is what the Talmud tells us. So he says, I know what it says in the Talmud, but I still have a question. Yes, sir.
A number of people have taken issue with Maimonides' inclusion of this idea to believe in God as a mitzvah.
Yeah, was this after with us here?
Was Nachmanides one of those people?
Well, when we get there, we'll discuss it. V'hine, al-pi zoha memra ba'ba l'alachot dolot umna'an achat la'achat limtso cheshbon. And so based on this, that the Talmud tells us that there were 613, based on that along came Mal Alchot Dolot Rav Yudai Gon, and he started counting to show us what are the 613. V'acharav nitpashet ha'davar mod, and he started a fad. After he did it, so other people started trying to figure out how do you get 613. V'uskam ben kol ha'chachamim ha'talmidim, and everyone agreed, all the wise men, all their students, v'nitpalsem v'amon, Shezes chum kol ha-mitzvot. Everyone heard that all the mitzvot they add up to 613. Menitchavu b'ze shirot, piyutin, v'azarot nimez mirot. And the poets started composing poetry, and the songs were composed to try and summarize all 613. We have all kinds of songs. There's one that was even composed by one of the Gaonim. I don't remember if it was Rav Sadia Gaon. They used to sing on Shavuos night when they read the Ten Commandments. They'd read the song. I don't remember which of the Gaonim, Rav Haigon, Rav Sadigon, one of them wrote a song that shows how all 613 are within the Ten Commandments. Mehem nechachmei Svarad rabot meod beeretz Andalus, kasher hezkir Rav Zatzal. Umehem be'arzot acherot bekol pinot ha'golah. Many people in Spain and throughout the exile started composing these songs, started composing these works that enumerate the 613. Bekvar amar Rav Zal, notice the respect with which Nachmanides speaks about Maimonides. He calls him the rabbi, even though he's going to argue with him. He calls him the rab. So the Rambam already said, "Shezeh davar shelo yisakel oto echad mikol mi shemana mitzvot shezeh minyana." The Rambam already said no one would dare to disagree with this concept that the number is 613. No one messed up on that. V'ani be'oni, but I, says Nachmanides, but I, the Ramban says, in my impoverished wisdom, nonetheless, in kol ze, ala b'libi safek al zu ha-memra. I have a question when it comes to this quote. Im haya divrei hakol, o yesh ba machloket. Did everyone agree there were 613? Or is he the minority opinion? Rav Samlai said it. Very good, that's his opinion. Did the other rabbis agree with him? And the Ramban is going to explain. The Safek Achir, I have another question regarding this number. Imi alachal Moshe Misinai, is this the tradition we have from Moshe from Sinai, 613? כלומר, שנאמר למשה מפי הגבורה, כך וכך מצוות אני מוסר לך לצוותם מישראל במורשה. Did God tell Moshe, I want you to know, I'm going to give you a number 613 מצוות, is that where it all began? או שהוא אסנחת בעלמה מן הגמטריה הזאת. Or did the rabbis derive it? And then the rabbi said, you know what? We could align it to this pasuk. We could make an asmachta. Where did this number come from, says the Ramban? Did God say it? Or did we derive it? And the Ramban is going to explain why this bothers him, because he says this number doesn't appear enough in the Talmud. If this was such a clear tradition, then this should have been part of the Talmudic discussions. When the Talmud discusses, is this biblical, is it not biblical, the Talmud should have also said, and how does this fit into the 613? Meaning, the Ramban will explain. Let's let him talk, and we'll see. So says the Ramban. Shezeh Chacham Rabbi Samlai Adoresh Ze Matzah Mitzvot Ken Lefi HaMinyan. Is it just a coincidence that Rav Samlai did the math? He came up with 613 Shemana Beim Venatan Beim Simanim, and he said, you know what? You want a good way to remember? Here's a gematria. Rav Samlai says, you know, I came up with 613. Rav Amnuna says, you want a good way to remember, I'll tell you. Is that what's happening in the Gemara? And why do I have this question, says the Ramban? Because throughout the Talmud, we find arguments about different verses. Sometimes the Talmud says, is this obligatory? Or is this a mitzvah which is, if you do it, it's a good thing, it's reshut, but it's not obligatory. In Sota and Daf Gimel, we have three arguments about three things. Are they a mitzvah or not? Right there on the page, you have three arguments. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. L'olam mem tavodu mitzvah, reshut. The whole concept of Sota. Does the husband have a mitzvah to do the Sota procedure with his wife? Or is it the Torah gives him the capacity to do it, but it's not really a mitzvah? What's the third thing over there? I don't remember. Maybe I'll quote it. V'kinei kishto divrei Rabbi Yishmael reshut, Rabbi Kiva omer chova. L'olam behem tavodu, Rabbi Kiva omer chova, Rabbi Yishmael omer reshut. La yitama, when a kohen has to be defiled to his relatives to bury them. Reshut, Rabbi Yishmael says it's reshut, and Rabbi Kiva says chova. So you have three mitzvos on one page in the Talmud where you have an argument, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, are they obligatory or not? So, what do you do with Rabbi Shmuel? If he says these three are not mitzvot, is he missing three mitzvot from his 613? Is he missing three mitzvot from his 248? The Torah tells us when you bring the chata sacrifice, you don't have to completely sever the siman, the trachea, the windpipe, or the food pipe. You don't have to completely sever it. The Torah says don't completely sever it. So there's a machlokas. Is it a prohibition? You may not. Or is the Torah telling me you don't have to? Which one is it? Okay, so wait a second. Huh? Either one. You could do either one. So the Gemara in Zvachim brings a machlokas. Now what are we going to say? One of them had an extra mitzvah. One of them was missing a mitzvah from his 613. How does that work? V'chein chametz v'pesach l'achar zmano. Chametz on Pesach. After the sixth hour on the eve of Pesach. L'divrei Rabbi Shimon u'mutar min ha-Torah. Rabbi Shimon says it's not yet prohibited. Rabbi Yehuda hulav b'pnei atzmo v'ruy lav yob chishbon. Rabbi Yehuda says there's a special prohibition. You're not allowed to derive benefit from it. Chametz after Pesach, yeah? What is it now? You buy chametz. Is it prohibited or not? Is it prohibited biblically or rabbinically? We rule it's rabbinic, but it's a machloket tanaim. So does one of them have an extra mitzvah? Is the other one missing a mitzvah? How do you work the 613? Mechen chametz lifnei zmano, misheshot ulemala, hu belav chametz before Pesach, from the afternoon before Pesach, The Gemara says it's biblically prohibited. Rambam Shimon says ain't bolav. It's not biblically prohibited. What do they do with their 613? You have a machlokes whether something's a biblical prohibition. Ve'yul Rabbi Yehuda ba'achilat chametz shlosha lavin, echad bechametz lifnei zmano, echad bechametz pesach, ve'echad lav shel chametz she'amar lav ha'pesach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have three separate prohibitions. One from the afternoon before Pesach, one on Pesach, and one you're not allowed to eat chametz after Pesach, chametz that you didn't burn on Pesach. So he has an extra two mitzvot over the 613, or is everyone else missing two? והנה הרב עצמו זל מנה חמץ משש שעות ונמל עליו בפני עצמו והוא כדיבר רבי יהודה. The Rambam in his enumeration of 613 lists a separate prohibition to eat chametz from the eve of Pesach, from the afternoon beforehand. He lists that as a separate prohibition going with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. ולרבי שמעון אין בו לאו כלל. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not prohibited. So is Rabbi Shimon missing one? He's saying if this 613 is a complete number, everyone agrees there are 613. So what do you do with all the places in the Talmud, and he's giving us examples, where there's an argument. Is this a biblical mitzvah or not? You guys with me? Okay.
Why did he bring so many examples?
Because he's a genius, so it's easy. You know, you give one example, it's one example. When you have the Talmud on your fingertips, so you give 15 examples. You say, and after 15 examples, you say, you hear my point, right? To us, it takes time because we're translating. But if we knew the Talmud the way he knows the Talmud, we'd run through this in about 10 seconds. We'd say, okay, he has a point. Meaning when I first read the Ramban, I said to myself, the first time I was learning this, okay, so there are three cases in the Talmud and Sota. I didn't remember all the other examples. Then I started reading, I said to myself, oh no, it's a much bigger problem. I remembered the case in Sota over there, it bothered me, and Tosus also raises the issue. Tosus says, wait a second, how does this work? Tosus over there. All these other examples, the Ramban just throws them out at you. You should know, this isn't a problem in one daf, like I thought when I read the Ramban. It's throughout the Talmud you're going to run into this problem.
Where's the stress on Rambam? Beginning?
Rambam in the beginning, Nilel. Rambam and Ramban.
Ramban.
Yeah. I'll try to be more clear.
Ramban came after Rambam.
Correct.
Ramban came after Ramban.
That's what I said. Okay.
Sorry, I can't. You really shouldn't.
Ve'od ani atid lizkor ze be'ezrat hakel, and I'll still go into this as the Ramban. Uvarishon shel kiddushin, another example in the first chapter of kiddushin, ve'galit me'umkar achiv. It says a relative can redeem his relative's property. If someone sells property, the relatives can redeem it. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua says it's reshut. He's entitled to redeem it. Rav Leza says chovah. He's obligated to. V'chein zeh sheshaninu. And so too, the Talmud tells us if a murderer, someone killed someone by mistake, once he left the city of refuge, so the relatives can kill him. Is that a mitzvah or not? So that's a machlokes between Rav Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Rotzeach sheyatzah chutz leo miklato umetzogo el adam. Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer mitzvah biyad goel adam, reshut biyad goel adam. Rabbi Akiva omer reshut biyad goel adam, men kol adam chayvin alav. Same thing we find about reading of Shema. When we read Shema, is it biblical or not? It's a machlokes. We rule it's biblical, but it's a machlokes. The Talmud tells us in Brachos, some say that Shema is only rabbinic. The blessing after Shema, Emet Yatziv, is biblical. Others say, right? Is that going on learning Torah in general, or is that going on reading of Shema? If you say that Shema is rabbinic, then you still have the biblical obligation to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. That would be Doraita. Met V'yatziv would be Doraita. And the Rambam already rules that Shema is biblical. The Ramban's going to give us another example. You guys want me to skip the next examples? I see people are getting tired. No?
Okay. I just was wondering why they have to leave.
Skip or continue straight? Continue. Okay. I figure this also gives us an overview of Talmud. Yeah, it's a nice way to get into. V'chein kolchem ha'sheyachura min ha'adam lo yipadeh. The Talmud tells us if a person designates certain things to hekdesh, so then he cannot redeem them. You designate an animal. The animal can be used as a sacrifice. You don't redeem it. You give it over. V'divrei omer. מניין לא יוצא להרג ואמר אחד ערכו עליי מניין שלו אמר כלום תמוד לומר כוחרם שיוחרם לא ייפדה אינה מצווה לדין מדיני ערכים. One opinion says that all the Talmud is telling us is you have a concept called erechim, meaning a human being has different aspects of value. You could sell him as a slave, that's one form of value. A person has spiritual value. A person has the monetary value of the work he could do. He also has a value that the Torah defines as a value called erech. Erech, when you say a person's erech, you mean a certain spiritual value, and the Torah gives us how much each person's spiritual value is. Men at this age have this value. Men at that age have another value. Women at this age have this value. Women at that age have another value. But not for damages. If I say I want to give his spiritual value to the temple, how much do I mean to say? So that's called erechim.
But how can there be a standard for that? Because then right, the rabbi, excellent, his beard went all gray because he was like 17 and the head rabbi.
Right, so it doesn't mean I can really evaluate him. It means the Torah gives us a certain...
Why would you give someone spiritual value to them?
It doesn't literally mean a spiritual value. I'm trying to explain a concept that the Torah institutes, meaning... the Torah tells us, you could say I want to donate his value to the temple, and then we say, well, you evaluate how much work he can do, how much he's worth on the slave market.
Yeah.
You could say, I want to give his erech. Erech doesn't literally mean his value. Erech means a certain value that the Torah defines. The Torah defines, depending on the age, will define his value. It's a different way of evaluating. So now what happens... The Torah just gives numbers based on age.
Okay.
It tells us at this age he has this erech, at that age he has that age.
How much am I worth?
You're worth infinity. There's no limit to your worth. But in erechim, so if he uses the word erech, so then the Torah gives specific definition. Now, what happens if someone's on his way to the gallows? In a minute he's going to be killed. He's been declared that he must be hung. And someone says, I want to donate to the temple. I want to donate his erech. I'm not saying his value. I'm saying his erech. So there, we say, no. I want to give a donation. You know what? Let me give a donation. How much will I give? His erech. So we derive from this pasuk that a person on his way to the gallows has no erech. But then it means that the pasuk is just telling us a monetary concept, a concept within the monetary laws of erechim. It's not a mitzvah. So that's what the Ramban is saying. The Pasuk says, if you have something that's been given off to the temple, you cannot redeem it. If something has been given off, you cannot redeem it. The simple understanding is, you cannot redeem a donation. You've given a donation to the temple, an animal, the temple's going to use it, you cannot redeem it. It's a mitzvah. We have an alternate understanding that says, something that's been given off to the gallows, you cannot give it any value. You cannot say, I will donate that value. In that case, it's not a mitzvah. It's just a technicality. It's a technical detail within the laws of evaluation. So the Ramban is just giving us another example of a verse which, simply understood, is a mitzvah. According to some of the rabbis, it's not a mitzvah. It's a detail within another mitzvah. That's all. וכמו שביאר הרב זל בעיקר השמיני, like the Rambam explains in his eighth principle, you cannot count as one of the 613 a concept which is a detail of another mitzvah. A detail doesn't get counted. אבל לדברי האומר, לא תשקול מיני ממונה ותפטריני, לאו גמור. But there's an alternate understanding that says that you cannot, if a person wants to redeem his life, there's an alternate understanding that says a person's on his way to the gallows and he says to the courts, I'll donate $2 million to the court, don't kill me. Torah says, no, you cannot redeem a person like that. Don't redeem a person once he's on his way to the gallows. One understanding is it's a technicality. The other understanding is, no, it's a halacha. You may not take money when a person deserves the death penalty. No money will save him. So then it's a prohibition. Like the Torah tells us, don't let a murderer pay his way out. As we find in the third chapter of Ksuvos, the Gemara goes into this argument. Says Nachmanides, these and the similar cases, if this is an obligatory mitzvah, it's one of the 613, And if you say it's not obligatory, you're missing some from the 613. So then he would have to find, in every case over here, whoever says it's not obligatory, what does he fill in for the 613? He has to count another thing, right? He has to fill the number. If we're going to say this is a closed number, everyone agrees to the 613, so then whoever says that these are not mitzvot, how does he get 613?
Does he enumerate? Rambam obviously gives his own 613. But does he enumerate the Gaon's 613 also?
No. So let's see. Okay. That's what we said. The Ramban over here is partial. His goal is to protect Behag. He's beginning with a concept that's relevant to the whole work. But the Ramban, really, after he protects Ma'al Halachos Gedolos, he's going to say, really, I side with the Rambam. But I just wanted to point out that there's a lot of logic behind, there's room to understand Ma'al Halachos Gedolos. The Rambam came and said, how could you say this? It's obvious it's wrong. Along comes the Ramban and says, no, wait, let me explain. We haven't gotten there yet. That's what we'll get to next week.
How long has it been since someone enumerated a list of the 613?
I don't know. Okay.
Is it like, did they make them? Are they using
I have this quotation that you made about visiting the sea, collecting the from where is it?
From Baal Halachos Gedolos. Rav Yehudai Gaon, those are the mitzvot that he enumerates.
Okay. Would you go back again to particularly the beginning? In this type of
Baal Halachos Gedolos enumerated reading Megillah, lighting Hanukkah. So the Ramban says we have so many examples of mitzvot that there is a machloket. Is it obligatory or not? And v'lidivrei, again, elu b'chayitze behin, these and those similar to them, l'divrei omer chovain min aminyan shetoyag mitzvot. Whoever says they're obligatory, they're part of the count of 613. V'lidivrei omer reshut einan nechshavin. Whoever says they're not, well then they're not part of the count. Tzichu l'aviv b'minyan zeh shetoyag mitzvot achirot k'misparam. He has to find other mitzvot to count in the count. If everyone agrees that this number is absolute, v'yashlim asevim kom asei, he has to find an asei instead of an asei, v'lot asevim kom loav, and to find an alternate lav instead of that lav. Not only that, he has to find examples that the other opinions don't count, right? He has to find something where he will fill in the counts. It has to be something that they didn't already count in the 613.
Or fitting it with another mitzvah.
Something like that, right? And that's the Ramban's main point. He says, look throughout the Talmud, you never find such a discussion. Why doesn't the Talmud ever ask, well, wait a second, if you don't count this, how do you get the 613? Why isn't that ever asked? Where are you from? You're not a Yeke. That's why you could say that. I am a Yeke. So I can't. Okay.
What was the.
He said they weren't so Yekish. Okay, maybe the Ramban's going to give a similar answer. And going with the Talmud style, what they should have done is ask and said, the Talmud should have said, if you count this, you got an extra. You went over 613. Why doesn't the Talmud ever ask that? If this number is such a perfect number on tradition, so why don't we find the Talmud ever saying, if you're going to count that, you've gone over. That's it. Doesn't work. Talmud doesn't do that. Inami lemande mapik hanach b'may mashlimnu, or the Talmud should have gone the other way. If you don't count this as a mitzvah, how are you going to get your 613? Talmud doesn't ask that. Why not? So that was the Ramban's first point. The Ramban said, I don't know, everyone assumes the 613 is accepted, and the Ramban really stuck in a point here. I don't know if you guys noticed it. The Ramban really set us up a little bit. He said, you know, the 613 really became a number that everyone agreed on ever since Baal Halachos Gedolos came on the scene. You notice how the Ramban worded it? The Ramban, so to speak, is...
Baal Halachos is a Gaon.
is a Gaon, one of the earliest Gaonim. But the Ramban says, ever since Baal Halachos Gedolos went with the 613, everyone following him took his lead and said, yeah, there are 613, and put together a compilation figuring out how there are 613. So the Ramban, so to speak, is saying they all followed him. He's trying to weaken the opinion that there are 613. He's saying, I know everyone agrees there are 613. I know it's a given. But I also don't understand. I have a question. And the Ramban's going to answer his question. But his first point, what he's done in this section, is set up the question very strongly. He says a myriad of examples throughout the Shas where there's a machloket, there's something biblical or not. And we don't find the Shas ever questioning, well, how do you work out the 613? If you add this or subtract this, you're off. The Talmud doesn't do that. And the Talmud should do that if it's such an absolute number. Now, so what the Ramban is going to do, his next point is going to be a little bit balancing, and that's where we'll pick up next week. He's going to give a little bit more more sources and earlier sources for this number of 613, which is where we will pick up as Hashem next week in the Ramban. And the reason I'm expanding in the Ramban before we go on with the Rambam is simply because I think this comes first. Meaning we're talking about 613, let's first understand the number. Then we'll go side by side, Ramban and Rambam.
I don't understand. Why do they even talk to Ramban? Aren't there just 613 Pashim from the Torah itself, the right stuff?
So that's the Rambam's claim. Let's wait and see. The Ramban is going to give a few answers to that claim of the Rambam's. Okay. Let's wait. We'll stay tuned. That's how everyone goes. What's been accepted traditionally is the Ramban. Everyone goes with the Ramban. The Ramban is simply coming to protect Baal Halachos Gedolos. The Rambam, in writing his work, is really disagreeing vehemently with Baal Halachos Gedolos. So the Ramban says, first, I want to understand this concept of 613. And secondly, I will explain to you, he will, shortly, how exactly did Baal Halachos Gedolos count rabbinic mitzvot? What did he do with the Gemara? He also had a Gemara, right? So that we will see Be'ezat Hashem, if not next time, the following time.